Hello and welcome back. This is the 13th class in the 39 prohibited categories of created labor, also known as our Shabbat crash course. Tonight we will be covering one melacha, one of the 39, and this is the next to last in our 39 roundup. This is the number 38. Hamakeh b'patish, in the language of the Mishnah, which is striking with a hammer. So what exactly is the concept of striking the hammer? Let's do that first before we talk about its connection to the building of the Mishkan, of the Tabernacle, which is where we understand how or where each one of these creative labors comes from. So let's begin with that. Number, what is this? Well, it's the performing of an act of completing the creation or the perfecting of an item. Either one of those brings us into the category of a makeh b'patish. In general, a makeh b'patish, meaning this striking with a hammer, this final blow, is sort of a catch-all, meaning that there are many things which are considered to be of some sort of creative labor, some final processing, some bringing things to their climax of usability. And those things which would not apply to any other one of the 39 melachot fall under this one. So for a moment, let's digress back to where we usually start, which is discussing where did this particular category come from. There are two understandings as to its origin. The first idea is that when they would go ahead and they would be building the Mishkan, they would have these, again, they would have the various poles that would be attached to each other, sort of Lego style, that would form the whole Kodesh HaKodeshim. Now, each one of these wooden block, huge poles was wrapped in gold. It was layered in gold. So in the process of layering it in gold, they would go ahead and they would wrap it all the way around. And then as the final part of that process, they would then put in golden nails. So it was the last golden nail that would be hammered into these poles that would be the malacha, this particular creative labor of striking with a hammer, and that would bring things to its final point. And again, so this is the first way of understanding. The second way of understanding it was that when they would be beating gold in order to make the various implements for the Mishkan, they would use a mallet. Now this mallet was a little bit softer, in other words, wasn't of the hardest metal, in order to ensure that as they were going to be banging on the gold that would need to be shaped, that it wouldn't cause that gold to crack or to splinter or break or anything else like that. But as a result, part of the process of beating the gold would also deform the hammer. So what they would do is every fourth knock, instead of being on the gold, would actually be on the hard anvil that where the work was being done. And in this way, that would smooth out and perfect the surface of the hammer, and therefore make it now ready to be usable for, again, another three hits onto the gold metal that would be shaped. In fact, the actual shaping of the metal itself wasn't really an issue. And in fact, you'll find that one of our do's on our do list here is that a person could go ahead and take a piece of aluminum foil, which has already been pre-cut, and go ahead and smooth that out now for use. So again, you take that aluminum foil, again, it was a little crinkly, you'd use it on something else, you want to smooth it out now, and now you want to go ahead and then put something into it and wrap it up. That's not going to be a problem. But again, it was the final acts involved here, meaning the perfecting of the hammer, or the case of the final nail that were specifically asur, which were not allowed. So let's start with our do's, going beyond what we just said. A person would be allowed to replace old laces into a shoe, meaning to say that if he's wearing his shoes and he takes them off and he unlaces one or two notches down or something along those lines, it would be perfectly all right to go ahead and to relace that part. Now here's the thing, this is the general way by which laces work. Also, these are not really firmly attached. It's not going to have a permanent type of attachment onto the item, binding it to it. And on that basis, again, replacing these old lashes is fine. Now on the other hand, on the flip side, in terms of our don'ts, a person would not be allowed to take a brand new set of laces and to lace up a shoe, because in doing so, he brings that shoe to its tachli, to its, now its bottom line purpose, meaning to be usable on your foot and bound there using the laces. So he's actually, again, changed the status of the shoe now to be a usable item, and therefore, putting in new laces would not be allowed. If a person would have a necklace that had on it some charms and that sort of thing, and one of them would happen to slip off the necklace, So that would be all right to go ahead and put it back on. On the flip side, however, if a person was to take a necklace and was to now put onto that necklace for the first time a brand new charm that he plans on keeping there for an extended period of time, that actually would fall under this malacha of striking with a hammer, meaning you've prepared now a bracelet for wearing. In other words, it's now reached its status. In other words, it's final status. In other words, it's now a usable, wearable, bracelet or necklace or whatever else like that. Fluffing a pillow, that means to say, in other words, you're not going to be fixing it and you're not creating anything here. You're not perfecting it in any way, although you are reshaping it as part of what you're doing. But that doesn't necessarily constitute any change in the item itself, and therefore this is fine. So fluffing a pillow is fine, but you certainly couldn't stuff a pillow. That would be an issue. In other words, putting that stuffing into it, that would be completing it and making it now usable, and that would fall under this malacha and not be allowed. Washing dirty dishes is permitted. A person might think that washing dirty dishes is a bit of an issue, because before you had these kalim, you had these utensils that couldn't be used, and now all of a sudden, they can be used. Well, what happens though is, again, there's been no material change to the actual item itself. The changes that have occurred have only been in terms of washing off debris and now now allowing you to use this in whatever fashion you would, because you wouldn't use it otherwise. But there hasn't been any real change in the item itself, and therefore not a problem. Now, according to many poskim, it's also all right to use a wind-up baby swing. Again, you're not really going to be changing anything in terms of the mechanism itself. There's nothing changing about the whole, in other words, this whole wind-up situation. The only thing is that, again, you're going to just be going to build up the potential in the spring and then release that potential. And according to many poskim, this is not considered to be a case of makav patish, meaning bringing it to its final form. So this is no real change in the item itself. Along those same lines, therefore, closing a zipper or things like that is fine. We already talked about flattening out a piece of aluminum foil as being all right. Putting spray deodorant on one's skin is not an issue. What we'll find out is on the sides of the don'ts is that scenting clothing and garments and items and things like that, which is the equivalent of modern-day dry cleaning, is not allowed. You're going to bring that item into a final state, a usable state, where it was completely unusable beforehand. And again, it's of a rabbinic nature, but the Chachamim felt that they did not want you to get involved in, again, the scenting of clothing and items and things like that. And therefore, it's not allowed. But putting spray, in other words, deodorant on your skin itself is fine. Along the same lines, spraying scents into the air is all right, as again, there is no tangible change to the items themselves in terms of their smell, in other words, of their substance. So moving on to the don'ts, well, what can't you do? Well, you can't undo a wire hanger to create a hook. In other words, you have something that fell behind your counter, your drawers, whatever else, you want to go ahead and undo a hanger, then be able to shove it behind, be able to yank and so forth. That's something which is not allowed. Fixing a wire hanger back that was a hook, or for that matter was bent. In other words, you're taking now this wire, which is now either purposeless or unusable, or was being used for another purpose and shaped as such, and you're going to reform it into a position, into a fashion by which it can be used. So that is not going to be allowed, because now, again, you're going to perfect it, you're going to be, or create a new item, and therefore not allowed. Straightening a bent handle of a spoon, this is, again, bringing something to a greater degree of perfection. Even though the spoon might be usable the way it is, by going ahead and straightening it out, you're going to be making it far more usable than it was before, and certainly more attractive, and this is a problem. Cutting attached pages of a book. Now, very often when you get a new book, you might find that a couple of those pages happen to be bound together, meaning they were never cut. It's actually a single piece of paper that's been folded over and is bound there one to the other. Now, if there was just going to be some glue in there, or it was bound because of the ink, of course, in a fashion that wouldn't cause erasing by separating the pages, or some food got stuck in or anything else like that, by going ahead and separating it's not a problem. But here, though, where it's a single piece of paper and it hasn't been completed, meaning normally speaking, the process of cutting the pages usually takes care of this. But for whatever reason, as part of the process of cutting it, it missed the spot and they're attached by that means, then you're finishing it off. I mean, cutting it would be completing those pages, would be completing the form of that book, and that would not be allowed. Similarly speaking, a lot of things which go under the category of fixing, they also come under this. Again, you're going to take something which was in a bad state of repair, and now you're going to repair it and fix it. So that would not be allowed. So, for example, if a person went ahead and he took straightened the clasp of a necklace or a bracelet that was bent or something, that didn't allow you to put on the bracelet or necklace, that would not be allowed. As we talked about, inserting new shoelaces into a shoe is a problem. Breaking apart plastic cutlery, or for that matter, if you happen to have a cutlery, sometimes they have little pieces of plastic sticking out of the sides or something, and breaking that part off, meaning smoothing and making the surfaces now nice. Both cases, in one case, you're actually sort of finishing off the process of its creation, and the second one, you're certainly improving on it. You're certainly, again, perfecting it to a greater degree for its use, and therefore it's not allowed. Filling a quilt with feathers. That again, it goes to the same category we talked about before, such as filling a pillow with feathers, or it's stuffing, whatever else have you. That falls under the category again of completing this item and not allowed, but fluffing it would be fine. Adding new charms to the necklace we discussed. Replacing a lens that fell out of glasses. What happens is if your glasses, you have to lose a lens and it falls out or something. What happens is in order to put it back, it has to firmly attach into the frame. And in doing so, you would be, again, bringing this to a usable state. Now, it's not normally the process of the glass, and it's not normal for glasses to come in and out on a regular basis, even though it's possible, but what happened was it was broken, and now you're going to fix it, in other words, again, with something which is fixed in a hard fashion, and therefore is not allowed. If it was something which was loose-fitting, for example, as we saw with a necklace, such as the charms that fall off, then that would be fine. But when it's going to be fixed in strongly, it is not allowed to be repaired. Doing origami, we saw other cases where folding and making paper airplanes and boats and stuff may not be allowed. This is one more case of that. That by, again, taking the raw material, which is the paper, and bringing it now into some final purpose, for example, such as a little Chinese fortune teller deal, or a hat, or whatever else have you, bringing it to that final process is also completing it, and therefore not allowed. Similarly, an inflating a balloon, or a ball, or something else like that, if you happen to have a deflated balloon or a ball or whatever else, by inflating it now, you brought it from a useless now to a useful stage, and that would not be allowed. Playing a musical instrument is included in here. And part of the reason for that is that in the process of playing the instrument, you may need to come to tune it, and therefore perfect the instrument greater. You may want to create an instrument or again repair an instrument or anything else like that. And therefore the Chacham came and they forbid the playing of instruments. In fact, it's not just the playing of instruments that was forbidden, but actually the beating out of a rhythm in any fashion is also. So going up to your door and knock, 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 this is not allowed as well. This is included under that prohibition by the Chachamim. For that matter, clapping out a tune or something like that on Shabbat is also not allowed. Spraying perfumes on garments or objects, as we mentioned before, this idea is not allowed on Shabbat as well. So included in that would also be then pouring scented powder into a shoe. So again, by putting that scented powder into the shoe to make it nice and not so smelly, would be included under the same category and not be allowed. With that, I apologize, as I did mention before, I realized the class ran a little bit short this week for various reasons, even shorter than we've actually been running. God willing, we'll be picking up with the last malacha next week, Hotza'ah, and begin some of the principles of Shabbat that deal with it, and of course the laws of Muksa and a few other things like that for the next couple classes, completing up our crash course on the laws of Shabbat. And I thank everyone for coming, and I hope that, please God, through our continued review and therefore continued efforts to observe the Shabbat, that we should see Mashiach Tzidkenu b'Mehirah Bimeinu. Amen.